It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are approaching the end of 2025, and that brings one of my favorite annual phenomenon, media lookbacks at the year that was. Today, we're focusing on 2025 in film. We're joined again this year by two of our favorite critical voices. Reggie Ponder is known as The Real Critic. He writes for Indigo Magazine and is the resident critic at Vocalo.org, which is part of Chicago Public Media. Reggie, welcome back to the 21st show.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate being here.
Also joining us again, Lucy May, originally from Central Illinois. She's now based in California, and she is one of the most popular members of the film social media site Letterboxd, where she has more than 131,000 followers. Lucy, welcome back to you as well.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
And listeners, you can join us today, 800-222-9455. What are your favorite movies you saw this year? I'm also curious how you're seeing movies. Are you still going to the theater, or are you, completely over to streaming? 800-222-9455. All right, I'm going to start with each of you. Favorite movie, your choice. Reggie, let's begin with you. What would you say was your top or one of your top movies this year?
My top movie this year is a tie between Sinners and One Battle After Another. I'm a member of the Critics' Choice Awards, and our awards happened this year on the 4th of January. We're first up, and both of those films are nominated, and I'm hoping that one or two of them win.
Can you remind us, in turn, Sinners, for those who haven't seen it, what is that about? What's the brief sort of capsule of that?
Sinners is about this young man from the South who is choosing between using his music for good or for bad. And there's a sinister element, vampires, if you will, trying to get him to use his music for bad. Actually, they want his talent. And then there's his father, who's a preacher, who really wants him to use it for good. It stars Michael B. Jordan. It is directed by Ryan Coogler. And Michael B. Jordan plays two characters in this film. And it's historically based, as well as based in some societal issues. A very interesting and unique script. And I really like this film. Then there's One Battle After Another, which is really about a young lady played by Tiana Taylor and her partner. They have a child, and they are with the resistance. That her partner is Leonardo DiCaprio. They're with a resistance that is trying to overthrow the government in many kind of ways. And they get kind of caught up with the law and have to be on the run. And it's a crazy, wild ride, but a very, very original script. Both of these movies are original, and that's why I really sparked to them, because they're different than a lot of times when we're looking at films. We look at films that are using the same IP, and these are different
derivative
films.
Yeah. Lucy, you had both of those on your sort of favorite list for this year. Anything more you want to say about One Battle After Another or Sinners?
I mean, honestly, I agree with Reggie. I think coming out of this year, definitely two of the strongest films. They speak on a broader scale, as well as they're just really intimate. So I really love both of those films as well.
And we need to take a break in about a minute here, but it strikes me that they're both pretty socially conscious, you might say. I don't know, maybe that's an old-fashioned way of describing it. But another one that fits into that category, and help me on the pronunciation, is it Bugonia? Bugonia? I'm not sure how you say
Bugonia.
That. Bugonia. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me, this looks very intriguing, just if you can briefly, and then again, we do have to take a break in about 30 seconds here, but what makes that movie interesting?
Bugonia is really interesting. It's by the director of The Favorite, Poor Things. It's starring Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, and it has to do with aliens, but it also speaks to just relating to your fellow person. And I really like that film a lot. I feel like it's one of his most accessible films.
Interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. We will continue with Lucy May and Reggie Ponder when we come back. Again, we want to hear from you. Favorite movies of 2025. Let us know. 800-222-9455. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the year in movies with Lucy May, who is one of the most popular people on the film social media site Letterboxd, originally from Central Illinois, now based in California. And Reggie Ponder is with us. He's known as The Real Critic. He writes for Indigo Magazine and is resident critic at Vocalo, which is part of Chicago Public Media, among other affiliations. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. 800-222-9455. Lucy, what's another one of your favorites from this year? Something that you think really struck a chord with you?
You know, I was just thinking about this, and I've had a lot of trouble ranking things that I've seen this year, but I gotta say, I think my favorite film of the year is The Chronology of Water by Kristen Stewart. Actually, it's her directorial debut. It's starring Imogen Poots, and it's based on a memoir of a woman who is a writer who, you know, went through intense things in her childhood with her family, involving, you know, violence, involving alcohol and such. And it's actually a pretty tough watch. It's not quite accessible, but I thought especially the editing and the sound editing and the way it was made, it was just incredible. And I've seen nothing like it this year, really, ever. And I'm not sure if I can ever rewatch it because it's a bit unpleasant. But I think as far as just visual medium, you know, in film this year, it really stood out for me.
It's so interesting you say you could never rewatch it. I've had that experience with multiple movies of, like, Lars von Trier, for example. I felt that way about Dogville. Is that, I mean, how rare is that for you, where you have that feeling like, well, I guess I'm glad I saw it, but it was great, but also terrible?
I mean, it happens with the stuff I seek out more often than I'd like to admit. But with this one, I remember I saw it at AFI Film Festival here in Los Angeles, where I live now. And it was film 17, I believe, of 18 that I saw in maybe a 5-day period. So I was really packing them in, but something about this just really stood out. And I remember thinking and talking to my friend about it and being like, I'm not sure if I can ever rewatch this, which I love rewatching films and seeing what more I can find in them. Especially after some time has been taken, but I would like to try to rewatch it. It's just going to be, difficult.
Reggie, what about you? I don't know if you want to take on that film in particular, or just the experience of, you know, were there anything that you saw this year that you felt like, well, I'm glad I saw it. I will never be watching that again.
I will say that does happen. And I think it happens for me probably at least once or twice a year, where you'll look at the movie and you'll say they did a good job, but do you really want to revisit that subject matter? I'm not sure that I had too many of those movies this year. But if we talk about another one of my favorites this year is Hedda. And I felt that what Nia DaCosta did with this film is based on the play Hedda Gabler. And the star of it is Tessa Thompson. And what she does to invite us into the world of these kind of high-to-do aristocrats is absolutely amazing and so, so interesting. There's a game that most of us know that's called chess. And then there's an elevated game of chess where you can actually get your players back on the board. That's what Tessa Thompson is playing in this film. She is moving the pieces around at her will, and it is absolutely delightful. And when you talk about from a visual standpoint, the set design, the music, all of it plays a character in and of itself. And it's just one of those films that I think is a must watch.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What about some of the bigger sort of, you know, Hollywood films that people saw this year? Superman is one of those that Lucy I saw was on your list. What did you think of that latest iteration of this superhero story we've seen told so many times in so many ways over the decades?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Superman because of all the things I'm looking at my list this year, a lot of it is full of a lot of, despair. But Superman was a brief moment that I thought was, I think it was a welcome change as far as like superhero films are going, and as everyone seems to have a bit of burnout when it comes to them. With the amount we've gotten in the past decade or so. Something about Superman, I definitely connected with it the way that a lot of people did. I just thought it was a really great popcorn movie. It really felt very good to watch. And I really liked how he's just a nice guy. I just like how that's the crux of this Superman film is it's sure it's a well-made movie and everything, but it's just like he's a nice guy who wants to do good. I don't know. I really like the message in Superman. I had a lot of fun with that.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-222-9455. Brian is calling in from Springfield, not me. Brian, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I was calling because the movie that I wanted to mention was Weapons, and I think it gets kind of scrubbed under the carpet because it's a thriller or horror movie, but it's really a social commentary and a great twist on a classic like fairy tale horror story. And I think a lot of people should watch it.
Interesting. I just called it up on my on my browser tab here, and the trailer still image. Oh, that's going to be a stretch for me, but Brian,
So
thanks. Yeah, go
I
ahead,
know,
go
but
ahead, go ahead. Yeah.
there's a classic Twilight Zone episode where this neighborhood starts having problems, and long story short, each neighbor starts going after the other neighbor. And as they pull out from the end of at the end of the episode, you find out that it's an alien attack on Earth, and all they're doing is using this technology to get us to attack each other. And Weapons is really a social commentary in that sort of a way where these children disappear. The town people want to find someone to blame. They blame the school teacher, who's played by Julia Garner, and it is the most amazing role I've ever seen her play. She's incredible in the movie, and she's stuck in the middle with no answers. And at the end of the movie, you just find out that it's this like folklore fairy tale, and it's brilliant. And I know it's a stretch, and I know it's a hard sell, but I'm telling everyone, you should watch this movie because it's not what you think it is.
Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate that. And I think you're referring to the Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. This is Maple Street on a late Saturday afternoon. Maple Street in the last calm and reflective moment before the monsters came. Lucy, did you have a chance to partake in Weapons this year?
Yes, Weapons is high on my list. Also, I want to do a quick shout out. Brian from Springfield. I am also from Springfield, so shout out to Springfield. Weapons is high on my list this year. I really like that director, his previous film, Barbarian. What is his name? His name is Zach Cregger. I really liked Barbarian as well, but I think Weapons just took it one step further. It's incredibly tense. It's incredibly, it's got a lot of like metaphor in it, and it's very tense. It's very scary. I'm not sure if I would rewatch it just because, as Brian was saying, it's the twist is amazing. It's really a good twist. But it's one of those that I'm not sure how the twist is going to feel upon rewatch, but I've known many people who have said they keep watching it over and over. So definitely recommend Weapons if you can handle a little spooky, a little horror.
Yeah, no thanks. Reggie. go
I'll say this, Brian, is that all of my friends laugh at me because I am not the scary person. So if you put me in one of those movies that are scary and you're sitting next to me, you might have a gouge in your knee or something of that nature, because I am that person. So I try to avoid as many of those as possible. I do want to make a point about Superman. I thought that it was a solid reboot of the franchise, but it was a reboot of the franchise. It wasn't really a reboot of Superman, in my opinion. And the reason I say that is that they threw everything in the kitchen sink in there, from Supergirl to Superdog to the Justice League, as opposed to just focusing on Superman. So it wasn't solely a Superman movie, which is what I was hoping for, but I understand what the franchise needed to do. And firstly, they have to compete with the Marvel Universe, so they really need to set up each movie as it goes along. So I understand it. I just didn't feel like it was a blockbuster film for me, one of those films that I would watch again. In fact, I'm just waiting for the next installment for what they're going to do next. So it wouldn't be one of those for me.
All right, let's see if we can get in one more caller here. Doug is calling from Naperville. Doug, thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you, and grateful to please ask you both, all three of you, about Nuremberg, Russell Crowe, Rami Malek. Why it's late in the year, but why are critics not more, I think, appreciative? I think it's such an important movie to see. Thank you.
All right, thanks for that. I've been actually watching a Judgment at Nuremberg, the original. Was it 1950s, 1960s, black and white Spencer Tracy film on that? But Reggie, I don't know, have you had a chance to take in Nuremberg yet?
Yeah, I am not sure why this one hasn't taken on, because from all of the things that Hollywood likes, this would have seemed to have been one of those films. But interesting enough, Begonia, which was just spoken about a little earlier, which is a little bit different from what Hollywood likes, is it seems to be one of Hollywood's darlings and favorites. So I really can't answer the question as to why the critics are not in love with this movie. It'll be interesting when you look at the nominations when you get to the Oscars, because a Critics' Choice, we didn't vote it. Golden Globes is not there as well. So when you move forward, it'll be interesting to see if it has any legs after those two award shows.
Lucy, I don't know if you want to comment on Nuremberg or maybe any other films that, you sort of departed from the critical or audience consensus this year and your take on the movie.
I have not seen Nuremberg. It's definitely on my list. I'm gonna have to check that out before the year is over. I'm trying to think if there's anything I departed from. I definitely there were a couple that I feel like I liked more than the mass audience. I'll speak about quickly Mickey 17, which was the newest effort by Bong Joon-ho, who made Parasite, and he won Best Picture with Parasite, and Mickey 17 is starring Robert Pattinson. It's like a sci-fi film. I think it was incredibly funny. It was really well made. It was really entertaining. And then The Materialists, I liked more than I feel like a lot of people, by Celine Song, starring Dakota Johnson, which is kind of about a group of people in New York. It's kind of a old-fashioned take on a new take on a rom-com, an old-fashioned kind of rom-com. So I really liked both of those a bit better than it seems like a lot of my friends and peers.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. You can follow Lucy May on Letterboxd. You can find Reggie Ponder in Indigo Magazine and Vocalo on the radio and on social media. Just look for The Real Critic. Reggie, Lucy, thanks so much for sharing the year in film with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Dick Van Dyke, the actor, singer, and comedian, just celebrated his 100th birthday this past weekend. We'll talk about his life, career, and legacy with a filmmaker behind a new documentary about Van Dyke, NPR media critic Eric Deggans, and a Danville woman who knows Dick and his wife, Arlene. I guess I should mention, if you don't know it, Dick is from Danville, Illinois. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow on the 21st show. If you want to check out that film ahead of time, it's streaming now on the PBS website as well as on the Passport app. It's part of the American Masters series. Just search for PBS Dick Van Dyke. I'm sure it'll come right up. The 21st show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. You can find us online, 21stshow.org. If you go there, you can find our email address, all the other ways to contact us. You can also find links through our podcast, or just look us up on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.